With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Power Trip After Party Podcast on iHeartRadio.
All right, welcome to the Power Trip After Party Podcast. It's Thursday, April 21st, 2022. Our special guest today is Kevin Faulness from the Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Hi, Kev.
How we doing? Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here.
Yeah. Glad to be here.
Have you received any pictures of me this morning?
You know what? Actually, no.
It's been nice.
I must have been very busy around here.
There they come. Pulp
Sauce is currently taking one. Kevin, can you break down the truth behind paying for extra storage because of your Halverson collection?
There's a little bit of extra storage that I'm billing to the Wild. I call it storage for audio purposes, yep. But actually it's for pictures of Zach Halverson in different state of affairs. It's crazy the amount of pictures I have of
Zach. Do you know
Halverson.
A number? Approximate number?
I think I said it's right around 1,500 these days.
1,500
yeah.
photos of
yeah,
him?
It's more than my... And I have three boys and a big family. My oldest is 12. I have more pictures of Halvey than I do of my youngest son, for sure.
I've gotten so much joy out of that, and I've been tempted to jump in, but I don't think I can compete, so I'll just sit back and enjoy your fascination with Halvey with meat sauce.
I don't have the fascination. Let's get that out on the table first and foremost, but it has become fun. No. More people have taken advantage of it than just me. Ryan Donaldson gets into it. When there's a gathering here at KFAN, I get inundated with pictures, not only from Sauce, but from other various members of the staff. So it's I get like 18 angles of Zach sitting. It's crazy.
I like all the people that are just absolutely baffled by it. They don't get it. You know how many times in the last couple of months we've been asked, like, what am I missing? I don't get the Kevin Fallen, this Halverson bit.
I know. Yeah.
And then we'll say, it's just he just posts pictures of Zach. But what's the bit? And we'll go, that's it.
That is the bit.
That's the whole bit. It doesn't go any deeper than that.
Audra Martin tweeted about it, and I don't even know how to answer it.
Like, no, but that's...
There's no answer to this. There is no answer.
That's the thing about the bit is it's almost died a couple of times, but what has regenerated it is hockey going, man, I think that's funny, so we'll keep doing
right.
it.
It's
or
that,
Audra not buying into it and being like, I don't get it.
It's kind of
looking,
morphed into a modern
yeah, we're
thing
just
now.
Looking for people, anybody who either, and then of course people are like, this bit's dumb.
Yep.
Then we both tag team pile on whoever
then,
says
yeah,
that.
Yeah, rule number one.
Yeah, don't encourage
don't
it.
Encourage don't it. Encourage it. I think Audra's muted us. I think she's
100%.
Taken that road, but that won't work.
Well, I appreciate it. I love the fact that you have it all in an album, right? You have albums for everybody.
I have folders, yeah. My favorite one is your mom tweeting a picture of you as an infant, holding you up like Simba and whatever that movie is, Lion King, and now I have that in my collection.
Not a fan of how my parents are now active participants in this bit, but...
Yeah, I get the LOLs from, is it Kathy?
Kathy, yes.
Yeah, all the time.
Kevin, how often do you treat this flood of photos like a deck of sports cards, like where you're like, all right, that one's fine.
No,
and then you're like, whoa, like I got like this is a home run. I'm gonna go ahead and put this one in a glass case. This is a masterpiece.
No, not quite like
Good
that.
Question.
They all go into one folder, but the ones that are above the rest definitely stand out.
Yeah,
I know where
like,
they're at.
There's my favorite one is when we then start adding comments to them and lonely with Zach sitting on the ground at some music festival
by himself
is the best one. That's my favorite
picture.
The
one where you guys are on remote too and he's sitting in the crowd, I assume trying to get glory shots from him in the middle. And he's all by himself just with a little camera.
Yeah.
What if you died in a car wreck today? Do you think your write up in the paper would say something like, you know, Minnesota Wild, blah, 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 broadcasting, survived by his, family, three sons. And at the end, it'd be like, Kevin Faulness loved the sport of hockey and posting photos of KFAN Zach Halverson.
As long as it's last in the obituary, you sure can get a mention. I don't want it to be the lead mention in my obit, but sure, you can mention it.
I think it's a part of your legacy now in the Twin Cities.
That's a hell of a legacy.
Yeah.
Boy, that's...
It's the best bit on Twitter. I love it.
Kevin Faulness, if for those people, and there's probably a couple of people out there, because this happens from time to time, and we are negligent in not doing so. Tell people what you do for a living in case they are unfamiliar.
I work for the Minnesota Wild. I am the studio host. So that's pregame, intermission, postgame. That's what you hear on the radio. There's a bunch of stuff that goes behind the scenes, including managing the largest radio network in the entire National Hockey League. So it's dealing with affiliates, taking care of their needs, recruiting, keeping them satisfied, stuff like that. So that's the bulk of it. There's a lot of other stuff that goes into it that would bore you, but if it's radio and it's the Wild, it's me.
Well, and you're among the long list of broadcasting legends to come from St. Louis Park. Yes. So you grew up in St. Louis Park, obviously went to St. Louis Park High School.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up, and did you always want to get into the broadcasting?
Yeah, that's the best part. Rosie will tell you, it was a little different when he went through there in the 40s, but when I went through, yeah, graduated in 1990, we had a pretty good radio setup down there. KDXL was the radio station in St. Louis Park. It didn't have a broad reach. It wasn't like a blowtorch, but it was enough to, it was like a candlestick, and we had carts at the time, and we'd do reel-to-reel, and that's where I first got a taste of what radio was about, and that's where I went, took it forward from there. So, yeah.
So, you haven't always worked in this market, right?
I've always worked in this market, except when I worked in Denver for 5 years. I started interning here at KFAN in 1993, did it for 2 years, worked with the Vikings Radio Network back in the day. Tim Spence, Dan Rowe was there at the time, Joe Sensor. Michelle Tafoya was here, so Dan Cole was still here, of course, worked overnights with Dubé. I mean, I saw a cavalcade of folks come through here, but parlayed the internship with the Vikings into working on a brand-new all-sports station in Denver, the Fan out there, and we started it from scratch. So we got the Nuggets, and they were getting the Nordique when they were becoming the Colorado Avalanche, so it was a cool time to be a part of sports in Denver. So.
And then you moved on briefly, right, to the National Football League out in Seattle.
Yeah, the only reason I left Denver was because of the Minnesota Wild. I hunted that job and bothered the people. They hired me. I got laid off in 2005 for the first of like three work stoppages I've been a part of. At that time, first time going through it, I think I panicked and I called in some favors and got a job with the Seattle Seahawks. Worked there for about 3 months till the lockout ended, and then I came back. So. Hmm. It was fun. It was fun while it lasted. I think it would have been great, you know, working in the NFL as opposed to the NHL. I mean, there's no comparison when you talk about money, but at the same time, I'm a hockey guy, I'm a Minnesota guy, and the opportunity to come back, it was obvious.
Yeah, what was it like in 2000 or even in the years before that when they were talking about it? And then obviously eventually became a real deal that we're going to get hockey back here.
At the time I was in Denver, I was following some pretty cool teams with the Colorado Avalanche. That team that moved from Quebec to Colorado was phenomenal.
Yeah,
Joe
Patrick
Sakic.
Waugh.
They traded for Patrick Waugh. But at the time, even that team that first landed there, Peter Forsberg was rookie of the year. They had Adam Deadmarsh. Chris Simon was on that team. Wendell Clark. That was the beginning of what turned out to be a pretty cool dynasty. And then, of course, I was following what they were calling this Minnesota Wild thing about bringing the National Hockey League back to Minnesota. And once that started, I think I started hearing rumblings about that in like 97, 98, and I started just hammering phone calls. And it turned out to work out. I've been here 22 years.
When did you start fucking around with play-by-play? Where did you start that?
It's always been my passion. It's always been something that I've enjoyed doing. It's something that I continually strive to get better at. And I would think that the first time I did a game was probably here. I don't know when my first game was. I wasn't out of the womb like Halvey doing high school games when I was still in high school. But yeah, I probably when I was here in Minnesota working with the Wild, I got the opportunity. Bob Kurtz got like a nosebleed. He's had some weird maladies over the course of 20 years where I've had to be pulled into action. Like sometimes like spur of the moment. Halvey will tell you, if you can prepare for it, it's a lot better than spur of the moment. He turns around and looks at me. He's got his hand over his nose and you have to jump into the play-by-play. That's a whole different animal. But yeah, I've been afforded some awesome opportunities with the Wild, for sure.
Meanwhile, Tom Reed, you can't get him away from the mic. He's had all sorts of like injuries and stuff that he's fought through.
He's gone through some pretty gross things. He had like a knee thing that apparently when he was on the plane, he like bent it and it squirted. And, so, and he still did the game that the next night. So, I mean, that's just one example. He's had a couple of things where he's had some skin stuff and he came in there. He looked like a mummy. His face was all bandaged up. But, yeah, I mean, he's old school. You're not going to pull him away for anything. He's going to go, you know, so the duration.
Let's just talk skill set of a hockey play-by-play guy, because clearly, famously now, Paul Allen jumped in to the ring a couple of times this year and he just killed it, right?
Yeah.
He is obviously elite at NFL football play-by-play. What's the difference from what you've seen from NFL play-by-play to hockey? Like, what did PA have to learn very quickly about pace of play and play-by-play?
Yeah, you know, the best thing that he had going for him wasn't his football play-by-play. Obviously, that helped. That was huge. But I think his horse racing background was even bigger in the fact that he was able to keep up with the pay. I mean, everyone's heard him do both. And yeah. I think the way he married both of those skill sets into that broadcast, both of them, the only thing I would say with PA, if he tried to do that over the course of an 82-game season, he'd have a heart attack probably by the Christmas break.
Yeah.
You know, because he was, I mean, I honestly, I looked at Tom during the first break when he was off doing something, pinching someone's sides or something. I said, Tom, I think he's going to die. He's not going to be able to make it through this broadcast because he wasn't breathing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did a great job. I'm not ripping him in any way, shape, or form. I thought he nailed it. It was his walk-off shot was the Jules Erichsenek overtime goal. You couldn't have scripted it any better. But the pace of play he was going at, he would have ended up killing himself.
So the one thing that I thought was interesting on that note is, I don't know if he ever said the names or if he just threw kind of a group under the bus, but he said he did a lot of research leading up to that.
Yeah.
And he listened to other people doing play-by-play. And I think he said there were a handful of broadcasts where it was just all business. No vibe, no energy.
Sure.
So, and clearly that's what PA does. To your point at horse racing and football, he's all energy.
Right.
And he just couldn't believe how technically sound but boring a lot of the broadcasts were. Is that a problem in the NHL that there's a lot of just old school mentality when it comes to hockey
radio? No, I think
that's
changed. A good example would be a Bob Kurtz. And again, complete polar opposite of PA, and I'm not ripping Bob, but Bob is pretty straight-laced. I mean, if Bob raises his voice, something big in the season has happened, not just a game. I mean, he hits that crescendo, and like game 7 of the 2003 playoffs when Brunette scores the goal, he hit a different level than you'll ever hear him hit. Meanwhile, PA did that on the first save that goal he was out there. So it's a different level. Yeah. It's a different style, and nobody's right, nobody's wrong. It depends on what you like. I mean, there's people that love PA doing the games on the radio for the Wild. There's people that absolutely hate it. And there's people that like Bob's style, and there's people that don't like it as much. It's to each and every person's style. I don't think it's like anything in particular.
The funniest part about PA's first ever crack at play-by-play in hockey, there was not a single stoppage in play. Yeah. It just was continuous hockey for about 6 real-time minutes.
Yeah, he got lucky because he was dead set on doing the broadcast from a suite, and it worked out where, especially that first game, everything was right in front of him because we were in a corner, and the second game, a lot of the action early was on the other end of the ice, and that's tough to call. And he got handcuffed a couple of times. But that first one in particular, I think it helped him get his feet wet because everything was happening. It felt like 10 feet in front of us where he was able to call the play and design it the way he wanted to. But, yeah, I remember doing a couple of games behind us in the press box, like practicing with Alexis, and we set him up there so we could listen. It's a different vibe. You know, when you're actually calling it and the bullets are live, it's a different animal.
Luckily, he's used to being handcuffed, so it's no problem. But yeah. I want to get to your history and more about you on and off the air. But you've heard a lot from Zach, and I'm sure he accepts and welcomes criticism. What could he do better to get further in the career?
I would say it would be nice if he was engaged in the process a little bit. Like when he's down at the X. This is mostly kidding, but because he's looking at me like I'm about to destroy him.
No, go ahead. Please give it to him for real. We need
but
real shit.
But there's times where we're doing the broadcast and he's doing 84 things besides the broadcast. He's on his little Twitter feed. He's on Insta.
Yep.
He's texting Chad.
Yep.
It'd be nice if he was focused on the job at hand, so when something happened, he'd know about it and be able to react. That would be my only criticism. Other than that, he's a model employee for me.
Is that a fair criticism, in your opinion there, Zach Halverson?
Yeah, sometimes I get a little, I don't know, like, I've had, this is going to sound like excuse computer, but like, I've had it where I've just been sitting there and I've been waiting for something, and I almost like get sidetracked, where it's almost better for me to get distracted and then have the broadcast in my ear to have the broadcast distract me from it, if that makes any sense.
Not really.
It doesn't, because I know. The only way, because like, I'll just start thinking, like if I'm listening to the broadcast, if that's my main focus, and then I start like dozing or thinking about something else,
dozing
a lot
off.
Of times I don't hear the broadcast, right, or don't hear the thing in the broadcast that I need to hear. But if I listen, I don't know. Fuck me. I just need to do better. I will do better.
No, no.
I'll turn off Twitter.
He asked me what you could do better. That was
That's
the answer.
True.
That was so, it.
Really, that was an honest answer.
That's
Think
it.
About
just
it.
Do your job.
Yeah, that's
no,
it.
What, really what it comes down to.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be better.
I'd say of all better. The guys that we have running it, that we have three of them down there right now running the broadcast, and I'd say he's definitely in the top three. I don't know that I want to rank it any higher than that, but certainly within the top three.
Way to go, Zach.
No, it's fun, and I like in terms of
in all seriousness, you do a great job.
The chemistry in that booth, and obviously now we have Joe, and he's been a great fit, but especially when I first started and in the first few years, it's been cool. I mean, you guys have been working together for how many years now?
Tom actually started on the television side, but I worked with him to some degree, at least in those first couple of years. But then since then, it's been 2 decades of Tom Reed. So
in those 2 decades, do you ever remember before the playoffs started feeling this good about a team?
No, I really didn't. I can't think of a time when I was this excited about a team just because of all the pieces they have around. It's not just Kirill Kaprizov. It's not just Kevin Fiala. All those are two big pieces. You look at the depth that's on this team right now, and that's what I think is scary. And then besides that, you've got 2 goaltenders that are playing pretty well. Talbot's doing a phenomenal job. His numbers speak for themselves. Since the All-Star break, he had a dip in his game, but since then, he's been rock solid. And then Bill Guerin goes and gets a future Hall of Famer. 500-some wins in the National Hockey League, 3 Stanley Cup championships to his title. I mean... I don't know how you could not be excited about this team.
All right, so then let's talk about expectations, right? If you go back a handful of years, it seemed like all the Wild wanted to do was get past Chicago. Like, can we just get to round 2 and make it feel like we actually exist in the playoffs? Now that we feel, maybe we're a little biased here in the Twin Cities, but we feel like this is a cup-contending team.
Yeah.
If nightmare scenario, it's one of those, all right, St. Louis just has our number, which they seem to have.
Yeah.
The matchup's not exactly ideal, but at this point, it's the playoffs. Everybody's probably going to be pretty good. If you get bounced in 4, 5, 6 games, and this is a one-and-done thing, talk about just the air out of the balloon
with
this roster.
If you get bounced in 4 or 5 games, then yeah, I think it would be a pretty decent disappointment. The problem is hockey. You know, I don't know how people – I know you guys try to make a living off of gambling on sports, but hockey in particular – it's so unpredictable. And you get into the playoffs and one bounce can kill you. A goaltender gets hot. Happened to the Wild against Jake Allen and the St. Louis Blues not that long ago. So would I say it would definitely be a disappointment for this series to not go the distance, but I could see a scenario where they lose in one game. I can also see a scenario where they win, you know, in stunning fashion. I think it's just that close. This series in particular, of all of them that are in the National Hockey League, is going to be a dogfight. It's going to be 7 games, and it's going to be tough. And I can't tell you right now. Your question was, would I be disappointed if they got bounced in 4 or 5 games? Yes. Would I be surprised if they lost in the first round? No. Would I be surprised if they won in the first round? No. It's that close between the 2 teams.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, Zach.
You've been around for so long and seen so many different head coaches with this team. I'd love, and not just with the coaches, we'll talk about the players as well, but give me a Lemaire story that sticks out.
Well, he'd sit around and talk forever. And sometimes it was about hockey, but Jacques was the kind of guy who had that swagger like a Marc-Andre Fleury, but I mean the old school type of guy that even a Tom Reed is enamored with, looks up to. He's got that cool vibe about him. And if you want to talk about old-time hockey, he can, but he'd rather talk about just hockey in general. And he'd sit there and he'd talk for, you know, typically these post-practice scrums last maybe 10 minutes. He'd talk for 45 minutes. If you talk to him, he'll continue to talk. He'll just talk. And it's not so much what he says, but it's how he says it most of the time. In my opinion, I've said this many times, is on my Mount Rushmore of Minnesota hockey. There's just no doubt about it. Him, Bob Nagley Jr., Todd Leiwicki's on that list for me. And for some people, that's too behind the scenes, but those are three guys that right at the top of my list should be up there. And when you think about the greats that...
And Parrish.
And Parrish is definitely on it.
Although and Halby.
He was brought up.
That's where I was going to go.
He's busy on Twitter.
All seriousness, all jokes aside, do you have any idea why Lemaire didn't like Parrish?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
Do you remember that being the case, though?
No, not really. Okay. I mean, apparently there was some kind of adversity there between the two of them, but... I guess that was between them.
What do you remember about Mark while he was here?
He was a great guy. He's one of us, you know, a Minnesota boy. We've had a number of Minnesota boys run through here, but yeah, Mark Parrish is fantastic, and they tell me he does a great job on TV. I don't listen to it or watch it, but I'm sure he does a great job, and yeah, he's a good dude.
Do you have, I hate to have you pick favorites, because obviously Dean is an active coach right now, but... Do you have a favorite one? Is Jock up there, or do you?
Jock's number one.
Yeah,
with a bullet.
Okay,
love you, Dean Evason. Bruce Boudreau was fun. Bruce Boudreau was actually kind of a throwback to the Jacques Lemaire type of guy. You know, where you could talk, and Bruce likes to talk about anything but hockey. Although he loves to talk about hockey too. But I mean, he runs the gamut. He'll talk movies. He'd be a great guy for you guys anytime. Well, they're in town tonight, I guess.
Yeah, he is great. We had him out at the fair. He's super.
He's
funny,
awesome. Dude. Yeah.
Cool, didn't he dude. Swear a couple of
yeah,
times?
Yeah, he called me a fucking idiot.
I believe he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I remember that was the most violent high five I've ever given someone.
Yeah, yeah. Because he goes, I'm from Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I looked at him and go, is that where the chocolate's from? And he's like, you fucking idiot. Yeah, he did. Yeah,
he's got an awesome sense of humor.
Yeah, he's funny. Yeah,
but and so too does Jacques. So yeah, I mean, you asked me who's my favorite, it ain't close. They've all been great. They've all been fun to deal with. Great people, but Jacques Lemaire is number one in my book.
Do you have a good Jason Zucker story that we don't know?
Jason Zucker hates me. I don't think it's real. I hope it's not real.
Jesus.
But he got him and Charlie Coyle, when they were rookies, for the first 5 years of their existence in the NHL, we used to do these things called the road tour where we jump on a bus and we go across the state of Minnesota. And for like 5 years in a row, him and Charlie were stuck with me. In this bus, there'd be another front office employee. There'd probably be another alumni guy in there as well. But I remember traveling the state with those guys, and they grind my gears. They love to push buttons, but I gave it back, and I think that's where our animosity stems from. He's a good dude.
Obviously, you got to go do that back in the day. You got to do, you know, actually be in the locker room up until a couple years ago. Is it hard now as a radio guy to be so disconnected from the team because of the COVID restrictions?
I would think it's harder for the bloggers like Russo.
Sure.
I mean, I don't live off the personal interaction. I mean, that's where your friendships, your bonds, and some of the behind-the-scenes stories are crafted. But for me, in all honesty, with my job and the way our operation works, our broadcasts are kind of cookie-cutter. We just put them together each and every night. I need the sound bites, and I plug and play. So I would prefer to have the locker room access, but actually my job's probably easier the way it is right now.
Who's the biggest dick that's ever been on the team?
Oh, I there's a name that springs to mind, but I probably shouldn't say it. I think you could probably guess. I think Parrish could tell you.
Is it so personally with you or just in the team on the team in general?
Did
you
not ever have necessarily with me? This person, I'll tell you the name. The person, he runs hot and cold, and probably even to this day. I've had probably one conversation since he left in, I want to say 2009, and it's Manny Fernandez. Mm. And I think Mark will tell you too, it's not that he's a dick. He can be a dick. And he sometimes treats people around him like he's a dick, even though he's not a dick, but he runs hot and cold. And if you catch him when he's cold, there's no sense in even trying to, you know, interact with him. But I guarantee you, if you ask that same question to Mark in his time with the Minnesota Wild, who was the hardest to deal with? Manny Fernandez. Because there's been maybe a handful, I can't think of even another one up to that level, that have come through the turnstiles in Minnesota with the Wild that haven't been great to deal with.
You never had bad blood with anybody specifically, or somebody truly didn't like you? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if they didn't like me. I guess that's a different question.
But no, like, individual run-ins where on a given day you
Zucker
piss somebody off?
Zucker was the only douchebag that when I would stand in front of him in the locker, he wouldn't answer questions.
He literally says that. I know.
Yeah. And I think he was just dicking with me, but he would do it in a group of 20 people. So I'd be like, Jason, this is a huge matchup tonight. How are you going to score a goal? I wouldn't ask that, but how are you going to score a goal? And he'd just look at me and go, you have to leave.
That's the best.
Okay, I'm going to go away. He's awesome. He's awesome, dude. And I know it's a bit.
Yeah.
It's still a super fun.
I love Jason.
That's his equivalent of keeping Halvey photos.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much.
A long play to hate Kevin Paulness. Yeah. I love it.
I'd be standing on this side of the locker room. He'd be on this side. He'd look at Sigma and goes, he's got to go.
That's the best.
All right, I guess I'll go.
The best. We only have 3 minutes. I know you got to go. And I hate to end this on a set, but I would be remiss and people would be pissed if I didn't ask for a Boogie story.
Oh, man. He's another guy that I used to go on those road tours with. You think of Derek Boogaard on the ice. I think most people know this. Just a monster. On the ice, wow, did you not want to cross paths with him? That's Todd Fedoruk. He caved his face in one punch.
Absolutely
crushed his entire face.
Crushed his face.
He did. Google Fedoruk and Boogaard, It was one punch, and you could hear the crack from the rafters. That's how gross it was. But then the opposite of Derek Boogaard is the guy off the ice, and he was a bleeping teddy bear. That's the way all these guys are. Jack Carlson's is another great example of just a monster on the ice. You get him off the ice, and he's just a fantastic human being.
Didn't you say Matt Johnson was like that, too?
Matt Johnson, 100%.
That guy had one big knuckle. He'd punched helmets so often that he didn't have individual knuckles anymore.
I can't imagine making a living like that.
I can't either,
crazy. But yeah, Boogie, phenomenal. Great guy.
So final question, because you have to get out of here, but we're coming up in the playoffs, and one of the reasons why, like, if people ask me, like, do you want to do radio or TV for play-by-play? And I always usually say radio, because the major advantage is you get to do all the playoff games. Yep. You're not, shut off after the first round. Yep. You got to do the run back in 03, was it? What are the playoffs like, and can we expect any big, huge production work from the playoff broadcast on the fan?
No, it's cookie cutter. We'll just throw it together. We'll just get through it.
It's going to same old shit.
Make time till fan line.
Not too much, though, right?
We blow it up, though. I'm sure there'll be extended pre-games. There'll be extended post-games. It'll be fun, especially down in St. Paul. They've been dying to get fans back in the seats. Got that this year, and now West 7th will be ignited. It should be a blast.
In any way, are you concerned about the Wild's power play in the playoffs, and would you compare them to Ebola?
Oh, boy. Because Zach did once.
Yeah, I know he did. I've heard the story.
Way to go, Zach.
It's Zach doing that, and Common lit the state of hockey flag on fire and put it out on social media.
Oh, my God.
Those are the two that in 20 years of Wild hockey I've heard the most about. Because apparently I'm associated with you guys just because I, too, work in radio.
So it's
your welcome.
Fault.
That's what I hear. Yes.
Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin Faulness on the Power Trip After Party podcast. Be sure to subscribe for more great stuff like this.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.